Hi, this is Dr. Mark. I'm the owner of reflexivity.org. This is our second podcast with my friend Mike from abroad. And we noticed that last time we had a very, very bad audio quality, and are now testing out a new software. It seems to be better. And we will make the most out of it. Hi, Mike. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing good. Yourself?
Thank you. Excellent. So much happening these last weeks. Unbelievable. Let us just jump in. Mike, explain to us a little bit how you became interested in the whole aspect of electronics and can you guide us through a little bit about what is your background, when that started, etc.?
Very good, thank you, Mark. I want to start the time that I speak with a little bit about myself background. And in this case, I started my interest in electronics at 8 years old, believe it or not. And as a kid, we had toys. There's something called an Erector set. It's a series of metal parts you could bolt together and make cranes and bridges and things. They had motors. They used batteries. Batteries died. As a kid, I was disappointed. Once my batteries died, I couldn't play with my toys. So I looked at my train set and thought, if I use the power supply for the train, I can use it to control and replace the batteries. So I made a jump with unrelated technologies or unrelated toys and was able to extend my range of use and what I could do with it. Does that make sense, Mark?
Absolutely, and you remind me of my 6 years old son. He is different than me. Kind of, I was never really technically interested that much, maybe as a child a little bit, but he can observe things and build, unbuild, and observe. And even at this early age, is very, very handy in doing things like that, and extremely interesting how those things function. Also, I have to say, he's asking me questions that I have to go and kind of get clever how those things work.
It's nice
It's
to have a son that developed and or a teacher that can help share his knowledge with us.
exactly, of course. But I have to look it up then, or get clever from somebody else. But talk to us a bit. Last time we touched or we discussed, started to discuss the whole aspect about EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, and wavelength. Can you explore a bit along those two things, always so that I can understand as a layman, please?
Yes. Before we go on, I want to talk. There's so many aspects of what we're talking about are very diverse. And I want to apologize. We're covering many distinct but interconnected systems and technologies which are at play. And I think if people don't really understand technology, and I don't mean that as an insult or derogatory, but if it's not their thing, it's probably hard to wrap their minds around. So we're going to talk a little bit today about EMF, the various forms. We're going to talk a little bit about smart meters as it ties into it. I want to touch on laser light, and it's off, but it relates to LED lighting and panels and quantum dots and lighting and arranging lighting. I want to put 5G towards the end, not knowing how much time we'll have, but also it's a distant threat, whereas some of the things I want to focus on today are things we are more immediately in contact with. Does that make sense, Mark?
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. We will have about 40 minutes, but
Okay.
I keep track of this. You just expand, and I'm
Okay.
keeping track of the time. And let's say after 30 minutes of conversation, I will remind
Okay.
you.
I want to also credit, there's a lot of experts that we're fortunate to learn by and under. And I don't so much want to repeat what they're saying, more connect the dots and try to speak between the lines to what is developing and hopefully filling in the gaps of what is being said. and understood by a growing body of people like us within this forum. My intent is not to scare, but I believe almost I want to hope that people become a little uncomfortable considering what's at play because it prompts further thought and hopefully some action that could prove to keep them healthy. Simple question like, what is Wi-Fi? To my mom in her 80s, it would be a six-digit code. That's all she knows. That's all she needs to know to log on. To consumer, it might be an upgrade to their cable system or their satellite TV service. To some, it's a simple button on a router. Again, I'm not being, well, mean about it or snooty as much as just it can mean different things. So let's drill into it a little bit. And until we start talking about what these technologies really are, there's no understanding or basis to build an understanding. And my fear and our concern is that we'll slowly start to see these fill people's homes and affect and possibly infect their lives with forms of radiation. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. If you look at EMF, it is radiation. And I'm going to talk a little bit out of turn to talk about the laser as a light source. If you think about a laser is all light frequencies in phase or swinging positive, swinging negative at the same time and in the same amplitude. So it's absolutely aligning light information that's not meant to or by nature. It's not there again. We look at the prism and see why the colors shift because their timing, the length of their wave forms is different. So when we start talking about EMF, we have to think of it as a form of light, just light we don't see. And certain forms of EMF can be below the visible range, like radio frequency or TV frequencies or certain types of radios, point-to-point radios. But when we start to get into the visible spectrum is where you start to potentially have problems because when we're talking of pure energy, it's a little more dangerous. Again, we talk about the laser. When you let's talk about audio and build on that. As you have lower frequencies, there's more amplitude or more push. As you go higher and higher frequencies, generally speaking, the amplitude drops because the waveform is smaller. With the laser, low frequencies and the highest frequency carry the same amplitude or the same strength. So it's almost as if to say that's why you might see a laser burn something because the form of light is so intense in a small field or pattern or area that it could cause problems. Would you like me to go on?
Mike, I have a question. May I interrupt you quickly? This is
Yes.
amazing. You said you may think about EMF as light that we don't see. That
Yes.
means, in a reverse line of reasoning, light is frequency. It's clear. It's clear, right?
Correct.
And yet, even on the light spectrum, we cannot observe all the light there is. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Correct. And then on the EMF spectrum, which is light or can be compared to light, again, we may or may not react to certain changes in the frequencies. What are
Correct.
your thoughts about that?
It's, I struggle with what I'm about to say. It's as if we need to develop new senses or engage or prompt new senses. It's kind of like for me, certain types of progressive, I'll say rap music or real rhythmic music is immediately offensive to me. I push away from it. And in that same sense, we have to really think about lighting. And how it could potentially have an effect on us. Did I answer your question or?
Yeah, and because and especially about the blue light, no? From, I
Yes.
think it's Brown, the company Brown producing those blue lights. That
I
is
had a
the
note here and
LED.
I'll say it now about we need to start looking at light that we're in and considering what it is. And if, let's say we're in a blue light or this purple light you're starting to see more and more of. It can have changes on your physiology. I'm not at the point I try to define what that is at this point, but I would ask people listening to be hyper aware or actively aware of lighting like never before. You know, maybe it's a little orange, maybe it's a little blue, but think deeper about it and think about how it makes them feel. Think about whether they can feel it on their skin, much like we feel radiant heat or infrared light from the sun or from a radiant heater like on a patio. But try to evoke a higher sense of awareness because it will help.
That would explain why some people are obviously more sensitive to this kind of radiation, be light, be the EMF, right? Some people seem to be much more sensitive. I mean, I myself don't feel it that much, honestly, or members of my family, but I cannot compare them to how they would be or how I would be if this radiation was not existent surrounding me. This
The
is the other
last.
problem. I mean, you had the analogy with the cat in our first podcast, remember?
And I did not say it clearly, was the cat that I adopted was 4 years old. She had never been in EMF. She'd never been in a Wi-Fi setting. I know because of the neighbors in the surrounding area. So she's an outdoor cat that happened to come inside, and it had profound visible effects on her. I didn't clarify that before, and I feel bad about it. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah,
So yeah, in addition
which
to
brings me to
that,
think, you know, there are these videos circulating now in alternative media where you see these cattle going in circles and the ants going in circle around a smartphone, things like that. So you see, it affects the behavior of the animals. So it may affect our behavior as well.
I want to say that we want to think about it as being like a form of noise. And in terms of our neural system and brain communicating through a neural network to muscles or tissues, if we have this energy superimposed on that network, we can't communicate to our own bodies. So when you talk about people, I do it, I feel pins and needles or strange physical effects or feel like prickly feeling on my skin. It's bizarre. I go to town maybe twice a month. I'm at home a lot. I'm happy. I go to town and I'm in a Wi-Fi field, let's say a Walmart or Lowe's or HomeStore or something. And I come home and I'm buzzing. I'm affected for a couple hours. It takes me a while to settle down. I have an EMF meter. It was a couple $100. It was not inexpensive, and it's a good way of gauging what's hitting you. And that combined with visits drew a strong conclusion to its effect on us. Let's go a little bit to the inside of the body and think about some things. I made some notes that I want to cover, unless there's more that you feel like you need to touch
Brilliant,
on.
brilliant. Go ahead. Go ahead, brilliant.
Let's think of EMF and let's consider as an unknown or something, because like I said, some people it could be a button, other it could be a code. It's different to everybody, but the effects on us are going to be the same. And more the more we're aware of that, the more we're apt to really register with, you know, when we're in danger. I hate to say it that way. Let's talk about the term electrophoresis. It's the movement of charged particles in fluid or gel under the influence of an electrical field. What do we hear now? You know, the neural gel and all this quantum tech. There are absolutely scientific factors that use electrical fields to influence physiology. The next one, and it was talked about when this whole COVID-1984 thing came about, was electroporation. I was really on it because I really enjoy it. The action or process of introducing DNA or chromosomes into bacteria or other cells using a pulse of electricity to briefly open the pores in cell membranes. What does that sound like?
Yeah, makes absolutely sense because these frequencies or the change thereof of the frequencies certainly do have physiopsychological implications. Now, you are addressing the brain side of it, of course, because we are electrical
The entire
human.
physiology
Yeah,
of
we
our
are
body.
electrical human beings. Electrochemical, but here now we look at the electrical aspect. And if we do change frequencies that we are not used to because we have a known frequency, an ideal frequency, then this may interrupt with our electrical motorical as well. the motor. You see the motor thing, no? Like I use my arm or I move limbs, etc., etc. I do understand that. Please go ahead.
What is evident is there are methods coming to play where the scientific community is clearly using electrical fields as part of advanced physiological manipulation, trying to do what nature will not permit. So, in my way of thinking, they're overpowering human physiology, and EMF is one of the tools. So, when Mark and I talked, I had a close friend listen to this first chat we had. And he said it's really diverse and sort of hard to track, and it really is. But we're trying to take a lot of related things and pull them together where you can start to form a picture. As a photographer, I think about the old tray where I'm developing the photo. I'm starting to see something come to place or see an image, and that's what we're trying to help do. And it's going to be necessary to reach into a range of things. So again, look at this EMF aspect as a possible breach to our well-being, and it's not being talked about simply because the TV pundits and the people that are talking, they get paid to talk, don't know anything about it. Okay, let's add to what I started with about the electrophoresis and electroporation or electropermeabilization, that was hard to say. Graphene is a natural, quite logical component to the cellular intrusion process. I was thinking about saving for later to point I will, but the mention of it, the talk of it being a single molecule thickness, it being potentially like many knife, I can't talk, many knife blades that can be polarized or oriented in a direction with electric fields, it would be perfect to be in proximity to key cellular structures, as Mark mentioned, possibly the brain, the heart as electrical centers, or other organs like reproductive tissues. If it's hit with a magnetic field, it would make sense that the polarization or changing of axis of the graphene could cause micro tears or permeate the cell linings to let things that nature won't let happen happen. So it just really scares me. And I want to talk again about this, that if you look at a lot of the disciplines, some people are focusing on spike protein, some people on graphene and the various things. I'm not taking anything away from any of the experts and the people brave enough to get out and talk about it. But we have to think about a many-faceted aspect of all these things are coming together and working together. We have to think another thing, not to be real religious about it, but it is the mark of the beast. It is end times. It is very, I can't think of the word, it's serious business, that it's
It's,
supernatural setting.
it, it is evil. You know, I mean, I'm following up these things like you, but with a far less technical understanding. But it looks like we have two competing theories out there that are quite strong, both in their own right. It's the poison theory from Dr. Artis, and the other one is La Quinta Columna. La Quinta Columna. The Spanish researchers that do the microscopy of the vials and blood, also more vials, they say they didn't see any spike proteins, never. They didn't see any DNA whatsoever. They said what they see is graphene, the single layered, highly conductive material, and other bits and parts. But we have this kind of thinking of poison, which virus is poison, means poison. It makes sense because if you look at the symptom, like losing taste and all those things, could be poisoning. That's correct. And on the other side, or maybe it's a mix of both.
It is.
Your thoughts,
Oh,
Mike?
it's got to be multifaceted, you know. And the other thing is to try to implement it worldwide. If they had one track and only one track to do it, it would be a failure. It's kind of like Todd had mentioned. Oh, excuse me, David. Considers maybe it's with the C had mentioned about. It's going to fail if they're strictly relying on phone, because people like me, I don't carry a phone. It's not in my pocket. It's not going to be tracking me. It's hidden by my bed. It's physically 50 feet from me right now. But there's a point that doing multifaceted approach, I like the artists. I watched the most recent video yesterday. It's shocking. You know, it's true to form artists. I believe in it. I believe in what he's saying. is that they introduce small amounts of it through the food, through the water, through various means, you know, not one channel, and rely on E. coli or possibly yeast. You know, people eat too much sugar. I sugar out 50 times. I don't drink a lot, but alcohol could affect it. So there's physiological things that are part of our diet and our ways that would absolutely breed our body making it itself. So to me, the prospect of putting this bright protein in a vial, and as Karen Kingston said, is if you look at it wrong, it will disintegrate something that affects it. It's too fragile. I don't think they can really truly make spike protein in a lab. It's a lie. To your point, Mark, to keep going, was they found no organic material in the choice of words, no organic material in the vial. So again, I think it is multifaceted. I think EMF will be a critical part because it will almost be the way our brain controls or communicates with our physiology through neural networks. There will be an information pathway that has programming or something to evoke change on the other end, if that makes sense. So there's a point that
Yeah, this absolutely makes sense. I did this experiment now many, many times for myself. We are a touristical place here in the mountains now, skiing in the winter, hiking in summer. And so there was winter time, and I'm looking for a whirlpool that needs maintenance sometimes for someone, because I'm certified to maintain them. I did some courses to do that. And so when I came home, then late, we have this after ski bars. So the people were celebrating there, no, all fully 2G plus rules. And yeah, I walked by, and I was checking them, tracing them for Bluetooth signals. And you see, the more people, the longer the MAC address list. This is clear. Okay, I have a special app to measure that, and I have this app can even say how strong the signals are that these people emit. Now, I heard one very, very interesting thought. I don't know who mentioned it, but she said by emitting. The people emit small electromagnetic frequencies, and there is a tendency for the unvaccinated to tune into the same frequency. What are your thoughts about that? That would be horrible, no?
well, it makes sense, almost groupthink, group consciousness. You know, we're all in an environment, there's music, there's a rhythm, and we all probably have the same heartbeat, the same respiratory, but we assimilate to that which surrounds us. So that makes sense.
Makes sense,
And
huh?
it would fit the method of sick programming that's behind this. I'm going to back up that I have kind of a list in the way I wanted to talk about, and I'm totally open to where we're going. I got a little bit more on the EMF. I want to talk about smart meters.
Go ahead.
A little bit about LED lights. I put MAC addresses down towards the bottom, and the reason being was my thinking is if you look at distance networks, you know, out in public, a close network like a LAN or local area network, which would be like a nightclub or a bar, and then an office setting possibly, and then a private area network or PAN. The different technologies will be applicable in different settings, if that makes sense. So having multiple aspects of how we're communicating our unique field, be it electrically, be it a MAC address, be it quantum dots in our bodies, they won't necessarily work. One won't replace the other, work in concert with one another. So let's say I'm walking through a park, and I'm identified as a MAC address, and then we keep walking, we walk into a restaurant, and then we're identified within their local network, and then we sit down, and the three of us are located by our phone by IP addresses. You follow me, or does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. I just had to unmute. I always mute. Okay. No, yeah, yes, of course, it makes sense. It makes
So
sense.
I apologize. I didn't want to talk out of sorts, but the MAC address, I want to factor in, but depending on what time we have, I put it further down because I feel like from a touch standpoint, it's possibly further away as far as a threat or hazard. I want to talk a couple more things about the EMF, and you
Yes.
mentioned graphene, and essentially there are high-end speaker cables. I'm talking they cost what a car costs that have graphene as a part of the construction and as part of the ground or shield part of the wire. This is a tangent, but it relates is we think about a wire between my stereo system and speakers as carrying audio. Well, the signal rides as a magnetic field around the wire. Some of the bass or lower frequencies goes through the actual metal of the conductor, but the majority of the signal is propagated as a field around the wire. And it can be measured, it can be recorded. So when we think about EMF, it has a nature and the way it travels and the way it affects things. Graphene is a natural component to extend the conductivity, be it within our atmosphere, be it within our body, or within systems, multiple systems. EMF, well, before talking about the electroporation, electropermeabilization, I was most concerned about the low effects or the drastic effects it has on the electromagnetic properties of the blood. I follow Dr. Jung, amazing doctor. There are many. And then probably Tom Cowan on this sort of subject, which is another amazing person. And Cowan's reshaping my beliefs about aspects of our physiology. But let's take a little bit of his approach. And this is sort of subjective, sort of thinking it out. I'm not stating it as fact. But if we think about the heart as a pump, which is what we've always been taught, there's some newer ideas on that I don't want to so much go into. But most importantly, the nature of the charge or our circulatory system relies on each red blood cell having a charge around it to keep them separated, keep them oriented, and keep them flowing in a way where they don't clump up. Well, there's an effect you all might be familiar with called rouleau, which would be stacking, looks like coins in a coin case. Well, that's a couple things, but primarily when the electrical charge is missing, it could be affected by dehydration, which is pretty commonplace among humans. It's strange that the solution medically for create or curing rouleau or offsetting it is a saline injection. So you increase the fluid, you increase the space, you increase the interstitial fluid in the body, but most importantly, you recharge the blood cells. So to me, I
Mike,
yep.
does that,
Yeah.
if I'm not mistaken, what I have learned in the process as we are learning, so kind of these red blood cells, they are negatively charged, so to repel from each other, is that correct?
Right.
So when you introduce a positive charge to these blood cells, they may stick together. Is that correct?
There are many cascading effects. Yes. Yes.
That's maybe why we see this rouleau formation, because these metals in these shots, no? But go
Well,
ahead.
when they say your capillaries are less than 5 microns, and a red blood cell is about that size, but it can fold over itself and go through it. When we see these dramatic images of microscopy, which I've done a lot with my dad in the lab growing up, it's striking. So anyway, let's think about rouleau and how that's a factor that I'm going to stop. Now, graphene would be a portion of it. The last thing I want to say before we kind of move on to some of the components that we come into contact with, some of the zones, is EMF. I said it before, but I'm going to repeat it, is noise to our body. And it's kind of like I did a lot of trade shows in the work field over the 30 years that I was in the corporate workplace. And I'd leave the trade show for hours, my body's throbbing this energy, vibration, the sound, the people, the visuals, just the whole of it. It took me a while to reset. I quit using caffeine. Coffee, daily, 2 cups typically. I quit caffeine altogether because I had adrenal overload or shutdown. Just, I really was overwhelmed. But I come to find out a part of its exposure, part of this barrage of being sound and noise and energy and vibrations and probably electrical fields, it wears me out. So we're all different. But at a point, I've had to make and take times to have time off of technology or time away from this. So we're talking about electrical and neurological systems. I can't define them any really easier for you, but ultimately, listen to your body. You take lead. You know, pay special attention to the things that are changing. We talk about EMF, a hierarchy of importance, the do's and don'ts. Personally, I've got my computer right now is hardwired. I do have a 2.4 gigahertz router. I periodize or cycle its use. I only use it when I need certain apps on my phone, like a utility app or a banking app. And I would recommend if people are using Wi-Fi to use a timer or try it to turn it off at night so you get a period without while sleeping and see how it affects the household, the family. So in essence, what I'd say is be mindful of it. Do not buy a 5G router. It's harder and harder to get the 2.4. I specifically bought a Netgear one, the 6200. I think this 2.4 is $25, brand new. And I turn it on and off.
Mike,
Mark? Yes.
you see, we have about 6 minutes left here, and I think we will then next time tackle the smart meters to start
Okay.
with. I thought about what do all the people do that live in big buildings or let's say in big cities, because I mean this is hardwired into the buildings. You cannot switch it off in this case. I mean you have no choice. This is the majority of the people.
What do they do? Is that the question?
Yes, what can they do to protect themselves? I mean, you have this, say, in the staircases, mounted in the staircases, these wireless things. So, what could these people do? They cannot turn it on and off by themselves, right?
Mark, I honestly don't know. I sold my home on the outskirts of Chicago in 2015 and moved to the country, not really thinking what we are realizing now, but I wanted separation from many things we've already talked about. So I put in place something. I don't know what a person does. I think periodizing your proximity to it, periodizing its presence or being on cycles in your house, create time away, or I struggle saying if there's a way to get away for a couple of days or a week. Again, an impossibility, but physically separate from. Now, when I go to friends' houses, I have to really wonder what I'm exposed to. And oftentimes, I come back feeling ill, feeling odd for a couple of days. I really do believe that I'm suffering from that. Back to your question, I don't know what to do, Mark. The other prospect is whether people could create safe zones in their house, which the idea of metallic paint is plausible, fairly expensive. It would make sense. But it still had to be grounded somewhere to shunt that energy away from the air. So there's ways. I've thought about that EMF, a hoodie or like a jacket. I've thought about EMF clothing that I might consider doing. It's not in my budget now, but I think as we get more and more, if I have to get in the city, let's say go to St. Louis or a big city, I probably would want to have something to protect myself. That doesn't help you, and it doesn't answer your question. I don't know, but it's
No,
scary
because
for me.
your decision to really go remote somewhere, I mean, it's great, but many people would not have the means to do it probably. And so we need to think a little bit, maybe as well for next time, what does exist out maybe to shield from this. We have these high frequency wirings, the high frequency ones that bring the
Right.
electricity to the village, let's say, from the producer. That's the only wires in Switzerland that are visible. All the other ones are buried.
Nice.
We don't have other, but that's another thing. We get kind of electromagnetic frequency from the ground. Yeah. Okay. Maybe that may be less, no, compared to if Also, compared to if they were on the surface, I'm not sure. But many people talk we are getting radiated from the ground in a way as well. You see? I think in America you have most of these wires in the air.
Yes.
The fine distribution to the houses is still in the air, right?
Yes. And over my lifetime, I've always avoided any area where there's high power lines running through it because I felt like the RF was a factor. I mean, my entire life, 50 years or longer, I would never, and I hope I'm not offending anybody that lives nearby one, but at a point, it's been a concern. It cannot be good. The next time we talk, I want to talk a little bit about LED lights and lighting and frequencies. We also want to talk about the size of frequencies. So as we talk lower frequencies, they cannot penetrate buildings and things like that. The higher and higher frequencies are less able to penetrate. So I think we can identify some aspects of the way certain EMF cannot get to us. So that's part of why I put the 5G part towards the end because it doesn't work over distance. It's not a particularly strong signal unless you had a generator in the room. But we'll talk about that more next time. I want to thank everybody
So
for listening and giving
those
us your
that
time.
penetrate the most are the short frequencies now that we have very close to us, let's say, like, yeah, the router and all those things. It's clear.
Those would be lower frequencies or
Lower
longer
frequencies.
wavelengths. And then the higher frequencies are more damaging, but they don't penetrate as much.
All right, well
If
understood.
we think about the higher frequencies, what I wanted to use analogy was a laser light. How light is cool, but it'll burn you. High frequencies will burn you because energy maintains the same amplitude or push strength, and it's sinister. It's horrible. So the higher and higher frequency, it's why we can't see it. It is like a functional laser attacking whatever it's hitting.
All right. Now listen, we are approaching. I wanted to send end time. Not time is soon up. So I would say we will start with the smart meters because this is a huge issue, especially in the US, obviously.
Yes.
Next time. I thank you so much, Mike, for taking your time to really connecting with us and to speaking with the community. We had a good uptake of our first podcast last week. And I would urge people to, if you find that interesting, those conversations, to share it with your friends and relatives, or so that more and more people are informed what is going on. This is very specific knowledge, and I think this is very important. So, Mike, I am wishing you a great day, and
Thank you, Mark.
I'm looking forward to record the next podcast next week. We will then switch to publish the podcast always on a Saturday. This time it didn't go because yesterday we had such a bad connection. Now to the audience, if you're listening to this, you are the resistance. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mike. Bye.